The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
And hello, everybody. I'm Jeff Wickwire. Welcome to Every Man an Answer. I'm sitting in today for Mike Kessler, and it's so good to have you with us. We're excited about answering your Bible questions, and we know you've got some good ones. I'm getting some great calls lately, some great questions about the Bible. I think a lot of people wonder about Scripture, especially with what's going on in our culture these days. A lot of lunacy, just a lot of crazy stuff. Even a little bit of some frightening stuff. You know, I trust God. We all trust God, those of us that know Christ. But our culture is certainly going in a direction that is concerning, to say the least. And so people are wondering, what does the Bible say about the day we're living in? What does God's word have to say? Is there anything to the Bible? And if what I've heard about the Bible is true or not, I would love to know. Well, we want to answer those questions, and we're here for that reason. And as you can give us a call with your Bible question at 888-ASK-CSN. That's 888-ASK-CSN. And once again, I am Jeff Wickwire, sitting in for Mike Kessler. I'm the pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And I have my own program on CSN called Hardwired. And that's heard at 7:30 p.m. Central Time throughout America. And we'd love to have you tune in and give us a listen. We minister the Word of God as it is to people as they are. So again, if you've got a Bible question, give us a call, 888-ASK-CSN. And with me today is Dan Steiner of the Preborn Ministry. And Dan, it's always good to have you with us. And you're all about saving the unborn children and ministering to the moms-to-be. And it's good to have you with us today, Dan.
Yeah, it's great to be on. Jeff, thank you for the invite, and looking forward to answering some wonderful questions from the Word of God. The thing you talk about, our culture and the disarray that we're finding in the decline of our Judeo-Christian ethic in America, I think, is probably somewhat part of the whole abortion equation, where the blood spilled on the ground from these children reaches the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, and who said, "Be not deceived, God's not mocked, what we sow we reap." And I think that drives a lot of the dysfunction that we're having to grapple with in our last couple of years and more.
Well, that's for sure. I look, Dan, at some of the things that are going on, not only here, but Canada, Australia, what has always been considered part of the free world, part of the Western free world. And now just so many political decisions being made there. This latest law that Canada passed last week, I think it's called C4. I'd have to look it up again, but it's a law that says if you try to convert someone in the homosexual lifestyle or transgender lifestyle, you have committed a felony punishable for up to 5 years. You are actually a felon. And the law was passed in response to what they call conversion therapy, which is, of course, the attempt to bring somebody out of an unwanted lifestyle into something else. And Canada deemed the teachings of Scripture on homosexuality and transgenderism to be mythical. And they passed this law. So now if you're a Canadian pastor and or a Canadian church or Canadian Christian, you work with somebody in that particular lifestyle and convince them to allow you to lead them out of it into a different lifestyle and what we would call freedom, you really have committed a felony. You're a felon. That was passed in Canada. It's causing no small uproar, I can tell you. Thousands of pastors are lifting up their voices in protest because what is the church all about? Well, the church is all about converting. That's why we're here. Preach the gospel to every creature. Hopefully that they would be saved. It is not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, that's just talking about conversion. And of course, in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul lists a number of different kinds of sins that people were caught up in, homosexuality being one of them. And he says, but such were some of you. Well, what happened? They were converted and they were set free from that lifestyle. But now in Canada's eyes, that's a felony. You can't do it. So we look at things like this and we go, wow, this is something. We're in a very, very different hour. The walls are closing in on a lot of the freedoms that we have always taken for granted. So it's really time, Dan, for the church to stand up, to speak up, to not be ashamed, not be intimidated, and really don't be pushed back from declaring the whole counsel of God or from reaching out to people involved in all kinds of sin and with the message that Christ can set them free. So really something what's going on out there. And we always rejoice, Dan, with what you're doing and ministering to ladies who have gotten pregnant and decided to have the children and not abort them. And how has that been going before we take calls?
Thanks for asking, Jeff. And as to your point about Canada, I don't know if you're familiar with the Nuthetic Counseling Ministry, but the headquarters of that is Faith Baptist Church in Lafayette, Indiana. In Lafayette, Indiana, the city council is trying to pass an identical law to Canada, not about being a felony, but prohibiting them from converting homosexuals and transgenders right here in Indiana, right here in the United States. Amazing. Like breadbasket, Bible Belt United States, frightening stuff. And but as to the fight for the lives of the unborn, it couldn't be better. We just had our best year from a number of perspectives in 2021 with over 43,000 women choosing life. A lot of those because of you, the listeners of CSN Radio, who have underwritten ultrasounds for girls, have placed ultrasound machines for girls in our clinics all across the nation. Thousands of women reached through CSN listeners, and we're just so thankful for that. And over 7,900 of them gave their lives to Christ as well. So we're seeing the gospel forwarded wonderfully because people here that listen to CSN really care and take action on their faith to provide real alternatives and truth to these mothers. You know, the thing about an ultrasound is that when you see that, you know it's not a blob of tissue. If you see that heart beating and hear that heart beating, you know that there's life there, and that makes the world of difference to a mom who is being pressured 80% plus of the time to abort. She really doesn't want to, but she's being pressured to do that. In fact, it's so cool here. Just last week, we had a mother come in. It was the first set of identical twins that I've seen. They were 12 weeks, and the mother saw those, and the boyfriend wouldn't even come in. He was pushing her to abort, and she hit him with a text and says, come in now. And when he came in and saw the babies on the screen, he started weeping, and they both chose life because someone in CSN listening underwrote that ultrasound for that couple. And that was in Texas.
Wow.
In Houston, Texas, where there's the heartbeat bill. There's still people know, even if Roe versus Wade does get overturned, it'll put it back into the states, and that will, there's no less unplanned pregnancies, and many states will never change their stance on it, like California and New York. So we're there with loving alternatives and compassion to help these women.
Fantastic. Beautiful. Well, we rejoice with you, Dan, and your outreach there. Of course, we're always for saving lives. The Bible is very, very clear that we're to stand up for those that can't speak for themselves. And the most innocent, helpless of all human beings is the unborn baby. So God bless you in your work. We thank God for it. And once again, folks, if you want to call in with a Bible question, though we do have Dan Steiner on with us today of Preborn Ministries, we're not only taking calls about abortion, but about any Bible question you may have. So give us a call at 888-ASK-CSN. We've got two lines still open. Well, there went one of them, one left. Give us a call. And let's take a couple of calls right now. I'm going to go to Bakersville, California. Hello, Dale. How can we help?
Hi. I'm looking for a recommendation for a study on the Holy Spirit and maybe the Trinity too. I'm not sure, but mainly the Holy Spirit.
Well, there's a lot of good studies on the Holy Spirit. I will tell you that the best one is the Bible, and get a good Bible commentary with it, because nothing is more clear about the Holy Spirit than the Bible. So it is your first and foremost authoritative book on it. But there's so many out there, Dale, so many great whole books on the Holy Spirit. What I would suggest is that you give a call to a Christian bookstore and ask them about what are your most popular best-selling books on the Holy Spirit. Only be sure that it's not from a liberal perspective, but it's from a conservative biblical perspective. And of course, you can ask the employee that, and they ought to know at least the answer to that question, because there are so many that I could name. Even some good Bible commentaries will have a lot on the Holy Spirit. But I would suggest you do that and see what they tell you. I think you're going to find some really good resources there, because it is a great, great topic that many people have written on. And maybe, Dan, you have one book in particular you might want to recommend.
I really don't want to have one off the top of my head, but I do think, you know, 1 Corinthians is the first place you should stop in your pursuit of what the Word of God has to say about that and spiritual gifts. In the book of John, you know, the Word of God talks about the Holy Spirit being the paraclete, the one who's called along beside us. And his job says to convict sin, righteousness, and judgment. But also it says, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will speak of me. This is the highest manifestation of the Holy Spirit's work. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You start with the book of John and 1 Corinthians. You can't go wrong.
Yeah. So, Dale, I hope that helps. Don't mean to be elusive, but really there are so very many of them. And if you call a good Christian bookstore, Lifeway, someplace like that, surely there's one. You're in California, so there's probably a lot of them. You just say, I want a good book on the Holy Spirit from a conservative, biblical, hate to put it this way, but fundamentalist or fundamental point of view. And somebody that's really exegeting the scriptures and not going off on some weird stuff about, you know, the Holy Spirit being a mist or just one of the manifestations of God, but somebody that is dealing with the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, and they should be able to give you some really good information. And I hope that helps.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Dale, for calling in, and stay on the line. We'll get you a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and you have a blessed week, and our prayers are with you, and I'm sure God's going to bless your efforts to find one. All right, let's go now to Patricia, Shallpoint Beach, Florida. Hello, Patricia. How can we help?
South Florida. We're in North Florida, and it's cold.
Is it cold? Wow.
So much. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank Jesus, gentlemen, for your ministries and your obedience to God. Now, my question is real simple. Where is our current location of the old-day Babylonian city, and is it going to be the same location where the rebuilding of the new Babylonian city will be, or the rebuilding of Babylonian? Will that also be at the same place?
Well, I believe the ancient Babylon is where Iraq is now. And we know that, for instance, Saddam Hussein, before he left this planet, had already begun rebuilding Babylon. It was one of his fantasies to rebuild the ancient city of Babylon. And my understanding is, things I've read, is that he had already begun, that it was underway, and that particular effort was, of course, aborted when he was taken out. So it is modern-day Iraq, was ancient Babylon. The book of Revelation does talk about a resurrection of the city of Babylon, and I believe that's entirely possible, especially since we know that Hussein was already undertaking that project. So wouldn't be a bit surprised if ancient Babylon weren't finally completely rebuilt there somewhere in modern day Iraq. And it may very well become the headquarters of the Antichrist, as many have surmised. So, Dan, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a prominent feature in Revelation 18, Patricia, as it talks about that great city, Babylon. It calls it a mighty city there, I believe. But it's thrust down, and the nations will stand and mourn for it, look off in a distance and weep for it. So it's something that's going to be very noticeable. It's not just going to be, you know, a monument. It's going to be a great trafficked city of commerce that all the nations will value for its commerce, and God's going to destroy it in a striking way, as we read in the book of Revelation. And whether that is in the old location, which you, I believe, are correct there with Iraq, Jeff, I don't know, but I do know that there will be a city called Babylon in the last chapter of human history. And yeah, it will not end well. You don't want to live there.
No. And I will also point out, Patricia, Revelations, there's two chapters dedicated to Babylon. Revelation 17, which is the destruction of religious Babylon, which I take to be, and most commentators take to be, the harlot church, the harlot church system that the Antichrist uses, and the false prophet seems to be over, and yet its destruction comes in Revelation 17. And that religious Babylon is destroyed by Antichrist himself when he sees that he no longer needs that particular harlot religious system to help him gain power. Then in Revelations 18, we see the destruction of commercial Babylon, which is the one we're really discussing here, which is very much so the one that is likely to be rebuilt. And so you might want to look at those two chapters and see that there are differences, that John deals with religious Babylon in 17 and commercial Babylon in 18. But it is modern day Iraq is where ancient Babylon had been located and may very well be rebuilt. I hope that helps.
Oh, very much. Thank you so much, John. Have a great night.
You too, Patricia. God bless. And I thank you for calling. Let's go now to Peggy in Oklahoma. And Peggy, how can we help today?
Yes, in reading, going through the Bible, reading different chapters overnight, and I am sorry that I don't have it marked in my car. It's at home, but it talks about the flight, that you should pray that your flight is not in winter or that you are with child. What are they talking about, your flight?
Okay, that's actually Matthew 24. Those are the words of Jesus. And he's talking about, I personally believe that here he's addressing the immediate destruction of Jerusalem. We remember that Jesus predicted regarding the temple that not one stone would be left upon another, that one day the temple would be completely destroyed. This was a mind-blowing statement to the disciples. Anybody Jewish that heard Jesus say that would have found it very hard to believe, because the temple was the center of Jewish life, Jewish religious life. It was just the epicenter of their existence. It was their identity, and it was an incredible structure. And yet Jesus said it was all going to come down. In Matthew 24, he said it. Then in Luke 21, he predicted that armies would one day surround Jerusalem. And of course, and would invade Jerusalem and destroy Jerusalem. And Jesus said in that prediction, he said, when you see the armies surrounding the city, flee to the mountains. And we know that he was talking about the mountains of Petra. Flee to the mountains. Get out of there. Save your lives, because the city is going to be invaded and completely annihilated, along with the temple. If you get trapped in the city, you're probably going to lose your life. So Jesus gave a warning about 37 years out before it happened. He gave that warning in 33 AD, right before his crucifixion, right before his death and resurrection. And of course, 37 years later in AD 70, the Romans under Titus invaded Jerusalem, utterly destroyed it. Over a million Jews lost their lives. It was a terrible time of tribulation. And Jesus had said to them, get out of there and pray that your flight is not in winter, or that you are great with child. Now, all he meant by that was, if it had been winter time, running would have been more difficult. Or if you were with child, running would have been more difficult. You know how it's very difficult for a woman 8 months, 9 months pregnant to run out of a city and flee into the mountains. So that's what was meant there. And, of course, we know that it happened precisely like Jesus said. It's one of the just absolute proofs that the Bible is a book of accurate prophecy, that Jesus, the greatest prophet of all time, was totally accurate in everything he predicted. You know, how could anybody have ever known when Jesus made that prediction? Because religious life was humming along. The Jews had their temple. They were observing the Mosaic sacrificial system. They were living life under Moses, the leadership of Moses, the Mosaic law. Everything looked great. The sun was shining, except that they were under Roman rule. But aside from that, when Jesus said this, it just seemed like an impossibility. But in 37 years, how things changed. The Romans did invade. It happened just like Christ said. And any woman or any Christian really at that time who saw the Romans beginning to surround the city would have prayed, Lord, help us that we don't have to flee when it's freezing cold out and flight is really difficult, or when the women are great with child. Because the time came, and we do know that many, many Christians that had remembered Jesus' words got out of there when they saw the Romans surrounding the city, and their lives were saved, just as Jesus predicted and just as he warned. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you nailed it there, Jeff. So, Peggy, it's, AD 70, General Titus, Roman army, came in, destroyed Jerusalem entirely, burned it to the ground, knocked down all the walls in the city and all the buildings. I think where it gets confusing is that passage in particularly Matthew 24 is then spoken about more of a messianic passage, the glorious return of Christ, where the tribulation shall be dark and the moon shall not give its light. That kind of thing didn't happen.
No, it's a two-pronged response. You're right, Dan, that Jesus made to the disciples' questions. What will be, because right after Jesus said the temple is going to be destroyed, they said, well, when will these things be? Okay, that's one thing Jesus answered in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. When will these things be? When's the temple coming down? What are you talking about, Lord? But then they also added, and what will be the signs of the end of the age? And so when you read Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, Jesus answers both questions. And you've got to read carefully to figure out which one is he answering in this particular context. And Dan is right. You do have to discern between the two. But I really believe that primarily Jesus' advice to pray that your flight would not be in the winter or when you're with child had to do with those fleeing Jerusalem right before it was destroyed. I hope that helps, Sandy. No, I'm sorry, Peggy.
Yeah, Peggy. And I do thank you for the answer. And we see the signs, and I'm about not looking for the signs. I'm listening for the sound. I'm waiting for that trump to blow.
Amen. Well, you know, it's amazing. We're really seeing. I mean, people have always said it. Well, we're in the end times. I remember in the 1970s, people predicting Jesus was coming back in 1988 and 1970s, and people put their reputations on the line, and all the way back even to the year 1000, people thought Christ was returning for sure. But now we're seeing so many signs coming to pass at the same time with greater frequency, with greater intensity, like the birth pangs of a woman going into labor with child. And it just seems like we're just about there. And so great, great question, Peggy. Thank you so much for calling in. We're headed now for a break. And ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of To Every Man an Answer. See you then.
You know, if you feel like you're stuck with a healthcare plan that isn't affordable or you simply don't like it, right now is a great time to switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 or more per month with MediShare, and what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. You get access to a massive network of providers and 24/7 telehealth. And MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. It's been around for more than 25 years. And it's more than just affordable healthcare, too. You get to be part of a community of Christians who pray for each other and support each other. But here's why now is the time to make the switch. Join before January 15th, and they'll waive your new member fee. So you'll save another $170 right off the bat. Call now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th, so you can save even more. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
CSN International is listener-supported radio. Have you ever wondered where to send a donation to support this radio ministry? Our address is CSN International, Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. Help get the gospel out across the country. Again, our address is CSN International, Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. CSN, bringing you solid Christian radio that's listener supported.
CSN International. Inspired worship from the hearts of believers. This is CSN International.
Everybody, welcome to Every Man an Answer. I'm Jeff Wickwire, filling in for Mike Kessler today. And with me as co-host is Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries. And Dan does a lot of great work with moms-to-be and the unborn, seeking to get them saved from abortion, and that they might live out their lives, their God-given lives. And they've been having incredible results and incredible ministry with many, many women in the last year. How many, Dan, were you telling me? Did you say 7,000?
Yeah, 7,900 plus girls in one-on-one sessions, usually about an hour long, gave their life to Christ. So we're evangelists to abortion vulnerable women at Preborn. It's a great opportunity to reach America where they live in their sexuality and sensuality, the results in these unplanned pregnancies, and then we share Christ with them. So it's the main reason I'm doing this, frankly, is the gospel.
Incredible. Fantastic. And we rejoice with you, Dan. And really, that's a great ministry. I really, really feel strongly about the issue of abortion and just the very fact that those babies are the most helpless of all. They can't speak for themselves, stand up for themselves. If somebody doesn't fight for them, they can't fight at all. So you're doing an incredible work, and thank God for you. And now we're going to go now back to the phones. We've got one line open. If you want to call in a Bible question, give us a call, 888-ASK-CSN. And we're going to go now to Ray in Florida. Hello, Ray. Good to have you with us today. How can we help?
Yeah, how you doing? Praise the Lord.
Yeah, very well, thank you.
About, good. I had a question about Jude, the book of Jude. I was reading a 14th verse about Enoch. He's sort of referencing Enoch and his prophecies. And I was wondering about that book of Enoch. I haven't heard too much about it. I know it's the missing books. I was wondering if what you thought about the book.
Well, the book of Enoch is not a biblical book. It's not inspired. It was written in the intertestamental period, leading in between the Old and New Testament. 400 years elapsed between Malachi and Matthew. And Book of Enoch was written towards the end of that intertestamental period. And people refer to that book a lot. There's a real fascination with that book on social media. I really don't know why, but it's never been considered inspired, right along with the Apocrypha, which was also written in that time period. And neither the Apocrypha nor the Book of Enoch, and Enoch is not in the Apocrypha. Those are two different books. But Enoch and the Book of Enoch and the Apocrypha are both have never been considered inspired. Jesus never quoted them. The apostles never quoted them. And when Jude here is quoting Enoch, he's not quoting the Book of Enoch or referring to the Book of Enoch. He's referring to the man Enoch, who the Bible says, well, it says right here in verse 14, that he was the seventh from Adam. We know that Enoch was the father of Methuselah, and Methuselah was the oldest living human being after the fall. Nobody has ever lived as long as Methuselah, 900 and something years. I forget the exact number, but almost a millennia Methuselah lived. His dad was Enoch. And so we're reaching way back into ancient times. And apparently Jude received a revelation from the Holy Spirit that Enoch had prophesied. We don't find this particular prophecy in the Old Testament, but we have it by way of Jude. And it's talking about the return of Christ, which makes it even more amazing. Because here's Enoch, seventh from Adam. So he's way, way back there. Before the flood, ancient times, seven generations removed from Adam. And here he is prophesying about the return of Christ with 10,000s of his saints. And that is an exact description of the second coming of Christ, where in other places in the Bible, we're told that Jesus will return with his saints to stop the terrible war of Armageddon and establish his millennial kingdom. So neither the Apocrypha, the Book of Enoch, are inspired. Now, there's parts of the Apocrypha that are valuable only in a historical sense. like the Book of Maccabees, gives us a lot of information historically about, well, the Maccabees and some of the battles and important wars that took place back then. So it's valuable in that way, but it's never been considered inspired as is the rest of Scripture. So, Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, you've nailed it, Jeff. It's a fascination. It's fun to read, but it's not something that you want to guide your life by the Book of Enoch. But his life's a different story. He's one of the two men in the Bible that never saw death. It's translated, as we know in Hebrews 11, that he should not see death, Hebrews 11, 5, because God took him in it. And we know from Genesis that he walked with God, and that's why. Small wonder that we find that he is credited with this messianic, one of the earliest messianic prophecies of Jesus Christ, this man that's seven generations from Adam. I don't know, Jeff, would he have actually known Adam? I don't know how long Adam lived and how soon Enoch was born.
I don't think he would have known him, but he was way back in ancient times, really far back in history. And it is interesting, as you brought out, Dan, that the way that God took him is a picture of the rapture, because the way Scripture words it is Enoch walked with God and he was not. That's interesting. And that's the way his departure from this planet is described. He was there 1 minute, gone the next. And, that's really a picture. It's a type and a shadow of what I believe the rapture will be, and the way the Bible describes the rapture: in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord, and mortality will put on immortality, and in a moment we shall be changed. So what the New Testament predicts about the rapture, or the catching away of God's church, is the way it describes Enoch leaving this planet. So both Enoch and Elijah, who was caught up in the burning fiery chariot, or the chariots of fire, are both types and shadows that God gave us to give us an idea, an Old Testament idea of a New Testament expectation that we're going to be caught up like they were. And it's really, really an exciting thing. So I hope that helps you, Ray.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate the insight on this.
You bet. Thanks for calling in. Don't go anywhere. We'll give you a couple of books, DVDs. Stay on the line, and our operators will get right back with you. Let's go now to Sandy in Montana. Hello, Sandy. How can we help today?
Hi, I have a prayer request.
Go right ahead.
Okay. First of all, I have today received a message about my cell phone, which I am a flip phone person. I keep it basic. I received a message saying that I need to upgrade and everything before I end of this year. Another thing, too, I found out recently that I'm going to have to get my car plates replaced by the end of this year. And I also have a grandson getting married at the end of this year. So I don't know if I'm being told something by the Lord or what. And recently, I'm sorry, I just moved against my will into a new place that is caught between my husband and another person, another family member, who is very controlling. So I, like I said, this was not my choice. We were in a house for 27 years.
Yeah. I want to get to the point. Here's what I'm really hearing, Sandy. You really need to get a sense of God's will for your life. And you're wondering, what is God saying to me through these different events that have happened to me? And, you know, it's really easy to do. And a lot of people do fall into, I don't know that I want to call it a trap, but they get into a habit of reading maybe too much into minutiae, things that happen to us. I heard one guy recently saying that God could speak to you from a license plate number. They're just sitting at a red light, reading a license plate. If you really understood numbers and what numbers mean, God can speak to you through a license plate. And I'd like to just say, you got to be so careful with things like that, because God speaks to us primarily through his word. I can't emphasize that enough. I think it can be dangerous to try to read anything and every little thing. You know, what is God saying to me from this need to upgrade from a flip phone to an iPhone or whatever? What is God saying to me because these different things have happened? I encourage people all the time, if you want to know what God is saying, open up the Bible. When you open up the Bible, he's talking every time. Not that the Holy Spirit can't speak to your heart. He can. He does me. But God's primary way of speaking to us is invariably the word. That's why every morning I grab my coffee, I head straight for my prayer place, and I open up the word of God, because I need the word of God to talk to me. I need the word of God to guide me. And so I find that the more I spend time in his word, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how is our mind renewed? Our mind is renewed by the word of God. Every time you open up that word, you're erasing old ways of thinking and replacing them with new ways of thinking. And the promise is that if we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we will be able to discern what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So I find that if I want to know the will of God, I open up the Bible. The Bible gives me the word of God. But, you know, I think that we just want to pray for you, Sandy, because I believe the Lord does want to settle you and establish you and give you peace in his presence. And so, Dan, would you mind lifting up Sandy and let's all pray together?
Yes, Sandy, thanks for sharing this with us. Heavenly Father, we do pray for Sandy and pray that she'd sense your nearness, your peace that passes all understanding, embracing, Lord, your word and promise to her that she can have confidence in every situation she's in, that you said that you are with her always, even to the end of the age, that you'll never fail her and never forsake her. That's today. That's right now for her. Reveal yourself clearly through your word to her, and that she should be anxious, but nothing, but in prayer and supplication, let her request be made known to you, and that you hear and answer prayer. So we just ask for your peace to superintend every circumstance she's in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sandy, for calling in. I hope that helps.
And can I ask you if there is such a thing? What is a spiritual canopy? That has just been coming into my mind recently, because I need protection from a person that is in our family that is a very close family member, too close for comfort. And
let me answer that. A spiritual canopy. Now, there's another word for that, and that word is a hedge of protection. And the Bible talks about that in the Old Testament, particularly. We find that verbiage in Hosea, for instance. And thank you for the call, Sandy. I'm going to answer your call or answer your question as we move along. But there is such a thing as the protection of God. The Bible talks about it in Psalms 91. So when we talk about a spiritual canopy or a hedge of protection, we're just talking about God's protection. I think it's the same kind of protection that Jesus urged us to pray for at the end of the Lord's Prayer, when he said, pray this way, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. So there, Jesus taught us to pray for divine protection from Satan, his traps, his schemes, his snares, his lies. And I pray it for myself virtually every day. So that's what that is, Sandy. And I want to encourage you to get into the word and be sure that, you know, there's no outstanding sin in your life that you need to repent of. And if you're genuinely seeking him, then I believe that God's hand of protection is upon those who are his own, and that God will protect you. And great call, Sandy. Thank you for the question. And we're going to move along right now to Vincent in Anaheim, California. Hello, Vincent. How can we help?
I have a question. When I read my Bible, I take a few verses and I put them on T-shirts and then I wear them, you know, for people to see, because a lot of people don't read their Bible. So I came upon John 3:16 and it says, "For God so loved the world." Now, if I take that one word, "world," and change it into "sinner," "for God so loved the sinner," is that tampering with God's word? Is it okay for me to do that?
Well, if you're doing direct interpretation, then from the Greek into the English, then you're going to translate the Greek word into "world." But if you mean, when he said "world," was he talking about sinners? Well, we know that's true, because in another place, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And I came not to minister to the healthy, but to the sick. And so, yes, the implication is the world means the world of sinners. So it's not wrong. It's just not a direct interpretation or translation of the Greek word that we translate into "world." But you're not off when you say it, because that is what it means. Your thoughts, Dan?
I love your heart there, Vincent, to want to evangelize. I think it pleases the Lord. Keep it up.
Does that help, Vincent?
That helps a lot. I appreciate the answer. Thank you so much.
You could put it this way. God so loved the world of sinners, he gave his only begotten son. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay, that sounds good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Vincent. Hey, thank you. God bless. And we're going to go now to Kathleen, all the way to Canton, Georgia. Hello, Kathleen. How can we help?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. And it's only in reference to the gentleman who called in first and wanted an excellent study on the Holy Spirit. And I just want to give him, everyone, it is such a rich study. If they go to morningstarcc.org, which is a Morning Star chapel, it's a Calvary chapel, and click on teaching, then archive, and then studies, they will find a study called "The Man and Purpose and the Purpose and the Man of the Holy Spirit," and it's done by the pastor Jack Abelin. And it is so in-depth, so simple to understand, and it is so powerful. So it is a beautiful thing. It's free. You go on. You can listen to it as many times as you want to. And I have gone back several times myself, because it's a fascinating study.
Now, what is the title of it again?
I'm sorry?
What is the title of of what you read? You read a title. What was it again?
The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. I thought at first you said the person and the man of the Holy Spirit. And I was going, wait a minute. But now I get it. The person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. That's great. It sounds good. And it is it's a study. It's a beautiful study, isn't it, Kathleen?
It is. And and again, like I say, it's free. It's online all the time. And, so many. Jack Abelin is a wonderful teacher, and I think anybody who's interested in the Holy Spirit can really grow from listening to it. So I hope that gentleman is still listening. Morningstarcc.org, and you'll find it. So that's all. I just wanted to give that input.
You know, I think so often people don't understand the Holy Spirit. Put another way, the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person in the whole Bible. People call him not a him, the personal pronoun. Jesus always used the personal pronoun him, he, to describe the Holy Spirit or to refer to the Holy Spirit. But people think he's a mist or some kind of manifestation, sort of like this ethereal fog that enters a room, and we really don't understand that the Holy Spirit is a person with feelings. He can be grieved. He can rejoice. He can be angry. Of course, always in a right kind of way. He speaks, he guides, he has a will, because the scriptures say, for instance, that whatever gifts we receive as Christians are divvied out by the Holy Spirit as he wills. The Holy Spirit, the study of the Holy Spirit is just a tremendous study. And I've got to tell you, Kathleen, that I would never have made it, put it this way. I've been in pastoral ministry 38 years, and I am an incredible debtor to the Holy Spirit, because how many times has the Holy Spirit strengthened me, settled me, given me peace, instructed me, guided me, warned me, helped me, encouraged me. No wonder the Bible calls him the Parakletos, which means the one called to stand alongside us. And that's exactly what he does. That's why he's called a comforter. We need him more than we know we need him. And I'm so eternally grateful for Jesus Christ pouring the Holy Spirit out onto the church. Because let's face it, the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, the church would not have made it down the street. But we've survived 20 centuries of persecution, trials, tribulations, battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. And how did the church do it? With the strength and the help of the mighty person of the Holy Spirit. And I know you feel that way yourself, Kathleen.
I mean, he's so active. He's so real. And it's such a gift that Jesus sent him, to live inside of us.
Yeah, and Dan, I know in your ministry, rescuing the unborn and ministering to those young ladies who have become pregnant but want to go ahead and have the baby and live a Christian life, those you lead to Christ, you couldn't do any of that without the help of the Holy Spirit.
And the Word of God says it pretty clearly. It's not by might or by our power or anything we've got, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God as much as God the Father and God the Son is God. He is God.
That's exactly right.
So often discounted. I agree with you, Jeff, and misunderstood.
Amen. Well, Kathleen, thank you so very much. And thanks for calling in, giving us that information. I do hope the listener that called earlier is still listening. And so you have a blessed day. Stay on the line. We'll get you a couple of DVDs for calling in. And have a blessed week there in Canton, Georgia.
Thank you. Blessings to you all. Thank you.
All righty. And let's go to Rosina now in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Hello, Rosina. How can we help today?
Hi there. I can't believe I'm on the show. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So my question is that, I don't know if it's a question. My brother passed away on the 29th of December. We are all saved. He was not. And I don't know if he accepted Christ. He died of cancer. I tried to talk to him in his last days and he shut me down. I don't have peace about this. I've been asking the Lord to show me a sign, but then the other day I read in Matthew 12:38-39 that says you shouldn't ask for signs.
Hello, Rosina, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, well, yeah, you dropped just for a second.
Okay.
So you're wondering about a sign. Back? No, I got it. So you were praying for a sign, and then you read in Matthew 12. Where Christ said, we're not to ask for signs like that. I see in your question here that you, when you first called in, can you pray for those who have passed? And, actually being just coming straight from scripture, no, you cannot. The Bible says it's given unto a man to die once and after that, the judgment. We have one life to live on this earth. That's it. But once you die, in whatever condition you die in, that's the condition you enter eternity in. And, but you know, you do not know, Rosina, what did happen in his final seconds. And we are coming to the end of the program. I'm sorry to cut you off, but time's up. And thank you everybody for listening to Every Man an Answer. Dan, thanks for being with us. You were great. And, tune in next time. We'll see you tomorrow night on To Every Man an Answer once again. Have a great day. Be blessed. And may God's face shine upon you.
Or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us To Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.